Well, we appreciate all of you revivalists that are here tonight and all the people that are watching, and we appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit that's here with us. Hallelujah. We ain't got any quitting sense. Revival, that's all we know. Hallelujah. So praise the name of the Lord. Thank you for being here, whatever you had to do to overcome to get here or however far you had to travel. And we appreciate you so much. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Praise God. Amen. And hallelujah. We just had a good weekend. And I know we've been together since the 4th, but I hope you had a great time and with the family. And we kind of took off Sunday night. And pray about being here with us on Sunday nights, at least on streaming. Pray with us. We're not moved by what we see, crowd-wise. We just, unless he gives us instruction otherwise, we're just going to keep meeting and keep praying. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How many of you love church? Praise God. We love being together in the house of the Lord. Father, we just worship you, and we just pray that as we spend this time together that you'll continue to fill our hearts with desperation. We really, Lord, that is our heart's cry. We're desperate for you as the heart panteth after the water brook. Is there something, Lord, very instinctively inside of every deer that wants to drink? We pray that, Lord, that we'll drink and that we'll drink deep, and we pray, Father, that we'll drink long. Visit us past the church services. We know that our church services, we count them precious, this well that you've given us. Abba, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We love you with all our hearts. We praise you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. We glorify you. Father, we worship you. We exalt you. We exalt you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's talk about living in a place that there's different ways to describe it. And it's the place called done. It's the place where we believe that we live in as we're going to a place. Pastor Dave used to say something, I don't know if I can remember exactly how he said it. He said that the road into the things that we're doing, the pillars, they're just as sure and steadfast, just as solid, just as sovereignly ordained for life and strength as the end result. So if we get on this path, stay on this path, dwelling in the place, going someplace, is just as sure and steadfast as the place that we're headed towards. Proverbs 13:12 says this, and we'll give some scripture. You can turn to them as we share or just listen. Only one scripture here. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when it cometh, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. And so the proverb is telling us here is that if you're hoping in something and it's put off, it's seemingly put off, if it's deferred, it can sicken the heart, or it can weaken the willpower to go on, or the emotional strength, or sometimes it even begins to wane or try to chip away at your faith. But But retrospect, or in opposite to that, when the desire cometh, or the thing that is being expected comes, it's a tree of life. And it's something that you begin to, out of some that expectation, once it is fulfilled, then it becomes a tree of life for us. It becomes something that we're believing collectively for revival, but you're watching this and you're out there, and there are many different things that you are trusting in the Lord for. And tonight we're going to really kind of center on hope for a little bit, and not use it in a weaker sense, but a very, not as a wishful. You know, godly hope is not a wish. It's an expectation. It's a now expectation. It's something that you dwell in, and as we said, Pastor Dave used to call it a place called done. Pastor Dave would describe a place called done, and you could actually live in a place in the spirit, he would say, that would bring you to the present facts, or that would bring the present facts into the truth of what God's word said about your life. In other words, you could go to a place in the spirit by meditation of the word, confession of the word, and all the things that we teach as far as relevance to worship and sitting in presence, taking those long drinks of presence as the deer panteth after, the hart panteth after the water brook, that you could create before the desired, the thing that you're believing for. Now, right now, we're not, somebody asked me the other day, they called me, they were really nice, and they weren't poking. They said, but are you seeing any of those crazy, and they were saying in a good sense, those crazy miracles yet? And they're standing with us because they've been here before. They weren't insulting. I said, well, we're not seeing all the crazy miracles yet, but we're doing the things that bring them to pass. And so the end result is, quote, air quotes, those crazy miracles, those are just kingdom things. And when kingdom things start happening, things, that's the tree of life for us. But there's a place called done, and that's, I'm not saying it's, I don't have an actual scripture where it says there's a place called, but there's multiple scriptures. And it's for us to come to a place where we're believing and we receive all of everything invested in that place of intimacy with Him, that before you ever get there, and before the, for us, the tree of life is revival. It's the crazy miracles like that person asked. It's the multiple things of what seems to be right now a contradiction of whatever is going on in your body, or whatever could be coming against you spiritually. But if you can find that place, and this is where we're at, the spiritual first. Now, I believe that we're going to go to a place where the miracles are going to start happening. Once we employ and speak the word, immediately things are going to begin to take place. But right now, we're in that place where we can step inside this envelope of a place called done and live there until we get there. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. Dwelling in a place in the spirit could produce, he began to teach us a living reality. What are you talking about? Well, let me give you an example. I was thinking about this afternoon, of a place called done that I stepped over into years ago, and found out that there are places like that even before the actual said results. Years ago, when we first moved here and I completed my first long fast, I'll just say it that way, it was right at the end of that very long fast that my daughter, my oldest daughter, was attacked with a, I'll just say, a disease. I'll just use that term. I don't know if it medically you can use that term, but it was something horrendous. And it was supposed to be a lifelong something that would stay with her. We did go to the doctors, and we sought medical help and medical wisdom. By the way, listening. Always when you're confronted with a challenge, especially when it comes to, let's say, physical things. I'm never going to tell you what to do as far as medicine, doctors, don't take your medicine, do this, do that. That's your decision between you and the Lord, okay? But understand something, and I won't, the Lord will have me go off on, maybe share with this more in depth in the Word a little bit later. But as you're going forward and making decisions in your life, if you come to a place where it's a critical decision concerning medicine or doctors or whatever, again, I'm thinking of Pastor Dave. He gave me so much. He said, understand this, that a decision in the natural does not always instigate, precipitate, something taking place in the spirit realm, in the sense of the word that just because you initiate by a decision in the natural, that doesn't mean that it initiates something in the spirit, but something done in the spirit, he said, will always initiate or precipitate something in the natural. In other words, it'll eventually bring it to pass. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'll just say this. If I make a decision, well, I'm not going to take my medicine. I'm not going to go to the doctor. Just because I make that decision, that does not put God's already governed by his word. Do you understand? He's absolutely governed by his word. The moment that we believe it, it'll come to pass. But that's the fight, whether or not we fully believe it. And sometimes we're in a place of growth to where that we need to grow before we make some of those stands like, well, I'm not going to the doctor, or I'm not going to do this, or I would rather go to the doctor, do what I needed to do, and live to fight for another day. Gary Carpenter, he's got a tremendous testimony how that he was on heart medicine and he heard a preacher preach, make your stand, do what, you know. And he said, it was like, throw out the medicine and make your heart stand. He said he threw out the medicine and he died, almost died. He almost died. And he went to Dave and he said, Dave, I threw out my medicine because it was my heart medicine. And Dave said, well, Gary, you're not doing what you're teaching. And he said, what do you mean you're not doing? He said, what you need to do is take your stand on the Word of God, take your medicine, but continue to do what you need to do based on the Word of God. And eventually, if you've ever heard that story, God weaned him off the medicine in about a year or so's time, and he's been healed ever since. So back to my story, we made a decision and to go to the doctor, and it was a really tough time during her life and our lives. But I remember that I was spending all day over here, and this is back before we had just one single row of carpet here, if you remember that. And I would get over here and I was seeking the Lord for the outpouring, revival, whatever, but because of the horrendous attack on my daughter's life, I would walk this carpet up and down through here, and I would continue speak the word. And there was a certain disease that had hit her, and I was calling that thing done. I was speaking the word against it, and the Lord had probably given me a few scriptures, and I continued to do that day after day after day. And it might have been 2 or 3 months. I don't know how long it was. But I was someplace. I don't know where I was at. I might have been in here. It was someplace in this aisle that I was walking and I was speaking those things and speaking those things and speaking the word. And all of a sudden, I walked through this like I walked from one room to the next. Just like, you know, there's a door, but the door's open. And I'm here, and I can walk into that room, and the door's wide open. I kind of walk from one room to the next, and all of a sudden, it was like what I was confessing for and putting my faith out for, it changed. It changed inside of me. It went from a place of godly hope and expectation to an absolute. There was no more. The only thing I can say is I stepped over into a place where it was so absolute, I knew it was done. I knew that it was absolutely done. And sure enough, it took a little bit of time, but she completely was healed of that. Now, later on, were some really tough times that she went through. She had some challenges of it. But I saw what a disease that was pronounced could last for her entire life was healed by the power of God, but it happened first in the spirit realm. It didn't happen because I said, well, we're not going to do this, Candy. We're faith people. I've done a long fast, and bless God, live or die, sink or swim. She's going to listen, follow God. But the main thing that I wanted to get across is there is a place of expectation, and that expectation can come to a place where all of a sudden you step over into a realm where it's absolute. Hallelujah. Absolute. Now, how can you do this? How can you go from a place where it changes? It absolutely changes. Colossians 3:1 says this, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Well, how do I set my affections on things that are above and not on things that are earth? It's more than just mental. It's a place of spiritual where you're continually aware of His presence. And you're continually setting yourself. Isaiah 26:3 says this, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. I love this scripture. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee because what? It's a place of trust. Set your affections on things that are above and not on things that are beneath. How do I do that, Pastor? Well, you continually practice. It's a spiritual thing, but you continually practice setting your brain, your mind on things that are above by continually setting your thoughts on Him. And the Word says that He will place us in a place of perfect peace. Perfect peace, you know, the King James says perfect peace, but the Hebrew says the two words back to back, shalom, shalom. Thou will keep Him in shalom, shalom, whose mind is stayed on thee. Shalom, shalom, thou will keep Him, the Hebrew says, thou wilt keep him in peace, peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. We have a promise here that if we set our affections, Colossians says, set your affections on things that are above and not on things that are beneath. How do I do that? Well, I continually practice putting my thoughts on him. I continually, this is a practical, just continually put my thoughts on him. You got to do things, yes. But as soon as things are done, continually putting, I don't think that there's a time of the day really that I'm not cognizantly aware that even when I'm doing stuff, he's watching me and that he's aware of my thoughts. And even when I'm not communing with him in worship, I'm still cognizantly aware in the back of my mind that he's there. And that way I'm putting my thoughts on him. Thou wilt keep him in shalom, shalom. What's shalom, shalom? Peace that is backed up by peace. Hallelujah. There is a peace that passes all understanding that he's inviting us to, that we get inside of, can I say, the bubble, that is a place called done, that will take us to a place where the natural experiences what we're believing in our heart. Shalom, shalom is this. It's a peace backed up by peace. Have you ever had something so wonderful, but it was so, you know, you just loved it, and you thought, the only thing about this, I hate for this to end. I hate for the day to end. You got a gift or you got something, you're like, I love this, but, you know, I hope I never lose this. Shalom, shalom is this. It's a peace backed up by peace. It says this, this peace will never end. If you stay in this, it'll never be taken away from you. It's always there for you to live inside of. It's a peace backed up by peace so that you can always stay in that place and say, Lord, you've provided this for me. And Lord, as long as I keep my mind on state on you, there's always a place of peace. Now, the peace, the Bible tells us to let our feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I know that the gospel is the good news. And it's a good news of peace. But as the word is teaching us there, what he's saying in context is, let peace guide your steps. Let the abundance of the peace that's inside of you by you dwelling in a place where you're setting your affections on things that are above, that peace is guiding you. Peace is the directional. It's the GPS. It's the compass. Like, okay, should I be doing this in my life? Is this the will of God? Pastor Dave used to say that the will of God grew as long as you're in his presence, as long as you're staying in his presence. The will of God grows, or the directional of God grows like a tree towards the sunlight. A lot of the decisions in my life are not they're where I'm hearing a voice, but I'm just looking inside. And if you look inside and you've been setting your affections on things that above, you don't even have to, you know, you can say, Father, what? But you get to know him. You really can get to know him enough to say, okay, peace is the direction. Should I go here? Mm-mm, no, that's not, I don't get a good feeling about that. And the feeling is not a feeling of the emotion, but it's an inward direction of the Holy Spirit. Verse 3 says, you're dead. Colossians 3:3, you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Well, we're dead, yes, from the rudiments of the world. Paul said in Galatians, he said that he was crucified, the world was crucified into him, unto me, he said, and I into the world. He's talking about just being cut off. It's a double sword there. The world's cut off from me. I'm cut off from the world. I'm dead. I'm crucified. When he said, I'm crucified, crucifixion's meant for one thing. It's to kill. It's not to suffer. It's to kill. And so Paul's telling us, as we're cut off from the world, he said, for you're dead, he pronounces to the Colossians, the people of Colossae, to that region, you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, for reasons, I know he's talking about salvation, hid with Christ in God. But for reason of this particular lesson tonight and me trying to capture something in your hearts and minds of getting hunkered. Can I say it this way? Hunkered down. Hunkered down in peace. Hunkered down in, we live in the great state of Florida. And we oftentimes have had hurricanes, and sometimes we've had 4 a year. And there, we have a common term around here. As it gets closer, we need to get hunkered down. And hunkered down is usually to make sure everything's put up, but then you go into your place of safety, which is your home, you know, if you feel like you can stay there. But there's a place called Dunn that is a place that will carry us into the fulfillment of everything we're believing for. And it in itself, by faith and hope, is already equipped with everything that we need to hunker down into. Hallelujah. Do you get the picture on that? Can you see that? Can you see that before it's done, it really is done? When I stepped across that place in the Spirit, and it was absolutely, I think I went home and told Candy, I said, you know, I was praying for my daughter, Amber, my oldest daughter, and I said, of course she was praying, I'm sure her prayers were going just as far as mine, but I said, something happened today, it was absolutely, completely done. You can get hid. You can get hid in a living hope. You can get hid. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, salvation, obviously, we're in Him. We're Christ in us. We are in Christ. But for the sake of this teaching, for the sake of the understanding, and saying, what can I expect? Is there heaven? Is there peace to go to the victory in? What will carry me to the victory? Hope. An absolute godly hope, an expectation of things to come. You can get hid inside a living hope. Hope's not a weak thing. It's not a weak place in God. It's a place of safety and peace and godly expectation. We can't make hope a weak place, or else we'll destroy the building blocks of faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hope is truly a place of godly expectation. We're expecting now something to happen. You can tell when somebody is not just wording faith. They're not just saying something just for, well, how are you doing? Well, I'm, when they're just going through it, you can tell that it's a strain for them. But when they have been in a place where they have been seeing something in the Spirit manifested and it has dropped down in their spirit with a godly expectation, they're not going to tell you that they might tell you that they're still standing, but they're not going to go on to describe with detail, you know, the sickness in their body as if they're this is where I'm at. That's already changed for them. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything? Again, Colossians, I'll read all three verses here. In Colossians 3, 1 through 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Hide yourself in a place called Dunn. See and speak. Here's part of what you've heard before. It's so important for us to see with godly hope and to also speak the things that we're believing. You know, in the, I don't know how long it's been since you read any of the blueprint prophecies, but one of the things that the Lord kept saying to us is that we are to speak the end result. We're to speak the end of what we're believing God for. See and speak the end result until you realize that one day, the hiding place that I'm in, I've been hiding in this place, speaking, seeing, it's taking me to a place. I'm living in the reality of what I'm believing for. Hallelujah. And there's going to come a point, if you're living in that reality, it's not a make-believe world, but to you becomes real. And I think sometimes it becomes so real that we want to. I know it's happened before for me, I'm sure, that the thing I was believing for, whether it was a physical thing or something that needed a change in the natural, that it happened and I didn't, I was living in it, and when it happened, there was no There was no difference, maybe, in the excitement. Does that make sense? You know, Jesus, when he was performing miracles, for us, when we start seeing those big, notable miracles, those crazy miracles, as that person said respectfully, we're probably going to be shouting and jumping and running. But for him, I cannot see Jesus ever just doing backflips because his father did what he expected him to do. That his father absolutely performed, that the Holy Spirit grew out those arms, grew out those legs, because Jesus was living in a place where that was totally expected to happen. There was no hope deferred. It was a total expectation. And so when it took place, it wasn't that he wasn't grateful. He would lift his eyes at times and say, you know, he would bless. But when things would happen, and I'm sure this is going to come to us, that we're going to be so spiritually mature that we're living in this place called done, living in this place where the hope that once was deferred is no longer deferred. It's a tree of life for us. That when it happens, it's like I hardly knew the difference of the reality of when it happened or when I was living already in it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I think that's a good place for us to be. Thank you, Jesus. Abraham is one of our greatest examples of hope. Romans 4, verse 17 says this. And he's talking about Abraham here, and it's so much that, I mean, you can just lesson after lesson and lesson concerning Abraham and hope and faith and. But Romans chapter 4, verse 17 says this, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. There was one particular place in Scripture he's talking about quickening the dead in regards to Abraham, and he's talking about Isaac. But here he's really talking about the quickening of Abraham's physical body and result of being able to have his son that was promised to him. Verse 18 says, for whom against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. This is incredible. For those of you that have read this so many times in your meditation, you understand something here that Paul is talking about. He's using Abraham as an example of faith. He said, against hope, he believed in hope. And there is a natural hope that's got to, if we're ever going to get to a place where the kingdom of God comes in full power, it's got to be superseded by a spiritual hope that comes into a place that possesses it now. We say that we believe it, and I guess we're doing the best that we possibly can at the moment, but there is so much more to be had. There is a place where natural hope is superseded by the hope, the spiritual hope, and it possesses it now. Hallelujah. And being not weak in verse 19, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not. I love this. God, obviously, he never lies. We know that. He can't even be associated with darkness or a lie. But he... The word gives you the good, the bad, and the ugly, but here God is reporting through Paul something about Abraham that he goes to the latter end of everything. He says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So did Abraham ever stagger? Oh, yeah, he did stagger. But he got past staggering. Sarah staggered, but she got past staggering. We may be wobbling a little bit now, but we're getting past our staggering moments. Because we're getting past, we're going to a place where hope deferred is no longer an option. We're going to a place called done. Hallelujah. Well, was there ever a staggering? There's so much to select out of Genesis going from 15 going forward where the covenant was cut with Abraham's life. But in chapter 15, verse 1, we see that God gives him the first part of the equation of hope, which is visual. And if you don't get a visual of the hope that you're wanting to stand in, to speak the end result, you're only living with one half of the equation. I should have called Gary or texted him earlier and asked him how the Holy Spirit said this to him. But, you know, when Gary was going from a place where he said that money was staying away from them in great abundance, it's a good way to say it in a faith-filled way. And he spent those 4 or 5 months in speaking 3 scriptures, I think, until it dropped. And then he came home and he told Sue, "We don't live there anymore. That's we don't live there anymore." And that's when it began to change. Later, the Holy Spirit began to speak to him and talk to him about how important godly hope was in the equation of adding it to our confessions. And he said something to him like 4 hours of godly hope, visionary hope, can do more than 4 years of, how can I say it, mindless confession. Like you're just saying it, and you think that, and maybe that's not the, sorry, Gary, correct me and I'll say it right the next service. But you're just saying it over and over and over again. Now, saying it over and over again brought me to a place where I saw my daughter healed. But I don't know if it was 3 or 4 or 5 months or however long it took for me to get to that place where it dropped down in there. What we see here in Abraham's life is one of the greatest examples of godly hope that is in Scripture, where God began to put in front of him the vision of the stars. Now, Abraham was 75 when he came out of his father's house. I believe, Ur of Chaldees? Anyway, chapter 12, 13, I'm not sure. Anyway, he's 75 years old. He's about, there's a scripture that tells you that he's about 85 when Ishmael is born. So anyway, when we're reading here in Genesis 15, it's a long, long, long time before it's still 25 years, 20 years probably before Isaac is going to be born. And the Lord said to him, after these things, the word of the Lord came to him, and this is Genesis 15, 1, came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." And he brought him forth. This was the vision that God gave him. He brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now towards heaven and tell the stars. This is obviously had to have been a night, night, and he's in the desert. Tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted him for righteousness, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Hallelujah. Visionary places can only really be birthed before you, the end result, through the mirror of God's word. I remember many years ago, I was in a hunting party with three other men, and we were in Terlingua, Texas, right down on the border of Texas and Mexico. It was in the Big Bend mountain area. And we would come back, we would meet, we had walkie-talkies, we would talk to each other through the mountains, and I would tell them where I was at. And sometimes it would be so far away, all you could do is say, I'm over here, if you'll look to your west or whatever, I'm over on this mountain. And it would take, we'd go through gorges and all kinds of things, having to get back to where our truck was at. And right down the border of the Rio Grande was right there, pretty close. One of the amazing things that I saw that I'd never seen, I guess, in my life, is that we'd meet back at the truck, sometimes after dark, and there was no light pollution. And I did not know, I never knew there were stars like that. I never knew it. I would look up, and they looked like diamonds. And it looked like you could do your hand like this and touch them. Because we didn't, no lights on, no street lights, nothing. And this is what Abraham saw. God took him out of the tent, and there was no light pollution. He was in the desert, and he saw that all this starry sky, and God said, this is yours. This is yours. And so God is saying to us, what's your starry sky? What are you seeing? Because if you're not seeing, if you're just living day to day and you're just living from moment to moment and you're not having a starry sky, then you've got to have a starry sky in front of you. A starry sky is your body being healed. You've got to see that, according to the Word of God, there's going to come a day where this is gone. And I can do, I don't care if you say, well, I'm 85 now, I'm 86, I'm 87, I'm 90, or I'm 45. You've got to see that whatever you wanted to ever do, you're still going to be able to do. Hallelujah. You got to reach up and touch the starry sky and say, the promises of God's word are my starry sky. I will not give up the tree of life, which is my expectation of things to take place. Hallelujah. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the dead are raised, demoniacs are set free, the maimed are made whole. I don't care how many are here on Sunday night to say that with us. We have what we say. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm not preaching at you, you guys, and I'm not preaching at you listening. Hallelujah. Because if you're listening out there in TV land, you're part of us. Hallelujah. So this is the first hope. Hope was sowed in by the visual, by God, to Abraham. And then actually, God will rewrite your past. Now, we talked this past week about history, how important it is, and having a history. But God will never take away the truth of what happened. He'll tell you that in the Word of God, certain things take place. But the end result, God will always speak the end result with you. When Paul got to Abraham's life in Romans chapter 4, he said he staggered not at the promise of God. Hallelujah. Although we know that by what the Word of God says that he did stagger, and so did Sarah. Genesis chapter 17, verse 15 says this, and God said unto Abraham, As for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be, which means a princess. She became a princess. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yes, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, and kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face, and he laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is of 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? He's like, God, things are not working like they used to. And I'll just say that. And we find in another scripture that Sarah was beyond the way of women. You know, it's not distasteful to say and understand that she was no longer ovulating. There was no chance of pregnancy. And verse 18 said, and Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might. So Abraham laughed. Another place, which I don't have, I think it's in chapter 18, maybe. It's when God, when Christ, I think it's the pre-incarnate Christ, comes down with two angels, and they meet Abraham as the two angels are going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's when the Lord begins to talk to him about Sarah having the baby too, you know, also in that chapter. And it says that Sarah was in the tent behind them, I guess behind them, and she laughed. And the Lord said, why did Sarah laugh? She got scared and said, I didn't laugh. Said, oh, yeah, you laughed. So Sarah and Abraham are both laughing about this thing, like, you know, you're telling us we're going to have a baby, and Lord, you don't understand, you know. All we can do is hold hands anymore. And God said to Sarah, and God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. We find that really, if we studied this out and had more time, both Sarah and Abraham staggered a little bit, but they came into the fullness of, actually it was 1 year from the name change, when God took the second part of the equation, and so much to teach, and we're skipping over so much, but when he takes the second part of the equation of hope, which is to see, and then adds to say, to see and to say to both parts, it's a double coin, both sides of it has to be in effect in our lives for us to go to the place called done. That it was when the saying part got into effect, when God changed Sarai to Sarah, Abram to Abraham, which means a father of many nations, that those two things combined escalated, and it really was within 1 year. He's 99 years old, as we read, and by the time he's 100, Isaac is born. And when Abram, when Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Excuse me. Neither shall thy name be Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And then in chapter 21, we see that the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time in which God had spoken unto him. And Abraham called his name of his son that was to be born unto him, whom Sarah bare him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being the eight days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Wow. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. Well, she laughed before, but now God made her laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck, for I have borne him a son in his old age. Hallelujah. So God, from the time that God changed the name of both Sarah or Sarai to Sarah, a princess, Abram to Abraham, the father of many nations, it was just, he was 99 years old. The child is born very quick, within a year's time. And actually, really, if you think about it, it takes 9 months from conception to birthing. So if it was a year later, within 3 months after they started the name change, it took place. We're going to see an escalation. Can I prophesy a little bit? We're going to see an escalation. And the things that were once a hope deferred are going to be like, bam, wow, shazam. How'd that take place so quickly? Hallelujah. And God gave him the name Isaac, which what? Means laughter. So God got the last laugh. Abraham's like, God, all we're doing is holding hands nowadays. And God says, oh, but things are going to change. Things are going to change. Hallelujah. I'm sure Abraham was happy. Glory be to God. Multiple hopes will be birthed in the days ahead. They will be not only birthed, but completely brought to fruition, I should say. We will see hope that was deferred become a tree of life, whether that's revival or healings or salvation or atmospheric change. I so desire an atmospheric change. Hallelujah. It's one thing for one of us or all of us to come in here and say, I had a really wonderful week with the Lord, and I really feel his presence all week, and that's, I hope you do. But what is going to be really where God wants us is that whoever walks in here feels his presence. I remember years ago telling Tim what a wonderful service and where we were at and the presence of God, and he was rejoicing with us, and he said something like, okay, the saints are feeling the presence. Can the people that are not accustomed to feeling the presence, can they feel the presence? And I thought that was a very honest question, because until we go to the next level, yeah, I can sit in the presence of God, but can I carry that presence into an atmospheric change to where people come in here and say, wow, this is different. This is amazing. Hallelujah. So we have to speak Isaacs into existence. Us and God, you and God, me and God, all of us, we're going to get the last laugh. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You are blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Remember to see and to say, and remember to develop your starry sky. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I remember Gary talking about, heard him one time talking about one of the things the Lord had told him to do when he goes in sometimes to minister. He's done it before, to minister to people that were maybe terminally ill or dying. He said, he's had the Lord, I don't know how many times, but he's had the Lord say this to him. Start talking to them about something they wanted to accomplish or that they always like to do. And as they said, well, I always, you know, what did you like to do? What was one of your favorite hobbies? Or, well, I like to ski. Or I like to, for me, it would be like, I like to hunt. If I'm laying there and you're trying to help me, you won't help me to say, would you like to go golfing again? But if you said, would you like to, can you see yourself? And I know, some, you know, we can be spiritual, like, would you like to be a revivalist? That's wonder. Yeah, I got it. I got that part. But he would say, create, God told him, create a godly hope. Can they see themselves doing again what they were able to do before the sickness came into their life? And so that's part of the starry sky. That's part of the equation of, like, man, I'd like to do that again. But I can't because I'm physically not able. But you got to see yourself, yes, I am able. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Let's all stand. Thank you for coming tonight. You are such a wonderful crowd. Hallelujah. I bless you in the precious name of Jesus. I pray that you prosper. Oh, by the way, if you have anything to give, I didn't think about that when I put that blessing on you until I said it. But if you have anything to give tonight, please drop it off somewhere as you're leaving. But I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless your bodies. I pray that anything that God has ever placed in your heart, not just ministerial-wise, not just to reach a city, but just anything that's so personal for you that you will never give up because of anything that is a hindrance to your body or to a challenge in your life, that you will continue to, Father, I pray they will continue to see and say, and they will come into the fullness of the tree of life, which is Christ in us. We're dead, and our life is hid with Christ. And for this purpose of this understanding, we're hid inside of a place called done. Let us enjoy this journey together. We love you, Father, with all our hearts, with all of our souls, and with all of our minds, and with all of our strengths. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. We'll see you Sunday.